I'm speaking with Herb Hadfield. Herb is an artist, a statesman, and a man of unquestionable integrity. Westport is proud to have such a caring and thoughtful citizen have his home here. I'm Mary Giles, and as Herb and I talk together, Westporters of today and the future hope to know as much as we can of this highly principled young man who has served our community in so many ways. Herb, where were you born?
I was born in Fall River, Mary.
Yes.
But I always felt that I was Westport was my origin, because evidently when I was born, I was a very sickly weakling, you know, and had problems, pneumonia and things like that. And the first summer of my life, my father, who was a pediatrician, felt that I needed fresh air and sunshine and the best. So we spent that first summer on Cadman's Neck. I think it was in one of the Darling cottages. And so I regained my health, and I guess Westport gave me the...
All this nice...
Gave me my life.
Yes.
You know? So I've always felt that I've owed Westport something.
Yes.
And I've always wanted to live here.
Yes.
I didn't move here until I was about 18.
Oh, you didn't?
But we spent every summer here.
You were here during the summer.
Yeah, either on Horseneck Beach. We used to spend summers on East Beach, Horseneck, until the 38 hurricane.
Yes.
And then after that, it was in Westport Point.
Mm-hmm.
We'd always rent a cottage or someplace. And then it was about 1948, I guess, because I moved into Bob Baker's house.
Yes.
Grace Hartley, Grace Hartley Howe was his grandmother. You know,
yes.
She was postmaster.
Yes, yes.
And I rented the house for the winter. It was sort of a house-sitting job. But I rented the house, and the total rent every month was I would go up to the post office in Fall River and to Mrs. Howe's office and take the electric light bill in. And that was my
that's
rent.
Not, that was
usually
rent.
About $5 a month then,
yes,
believe it or not.
Yes.
And that was my total rent, but I spent a couple of winters there.
Just where is... Now, is that where Mary Baker...
That's right, down on Cape Byle Lane.
On Cape Byle Lane.
Yeah. The Browns have that.
Yes,
now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I can remember that very well. I spent a good deal of time there. It was a very nice place.
Yeah.
Very attractive.
I stayed there until 1950 when the family bought the property down at Westport Point. On 1992. Main Road, and then I built the little house down and back.
Yeah. Now, down near the river, toward the river.
There was a river down there then, but because they put the highway through about the time I finished the first little house.
Yes. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Highways come along.
I'm lucky I didn't go through the house.
How about your education as an artist? You are an artist. You work in many media. You are a sculptor, a painter, a craftsman of all kinds. I mean, I think of all the beautiful things you've done.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Well, I think you're terrific master. No, that's not true at all.
No, I went to Swain School of Design when I came out of the Army. And I did five years at Swain School of Design. I went back and... At the time I went there, we had a commercial art course, and I did the 4 years of that, and then I went back for 1 year of oil painting with Frank Raposa. And then later on, sometime later, I went to Bradford Durkee College and to get my degree. But Swain School just gave a diploma, they didn't get a degree. And at that time, I was thinking about teaching. So I got my degree at Bradford Durkee College, and then I went to... Boston University, working on my master's. But then I got married at the same time, and
so that didn't
no
work.
Masters.
No masters, no. Well, before you were married, and even before you went to Boston and began to decide that you wanted to teach, you had done some magnificent painting.
I loved oil painting.
That's
my favorite. I've gotten away from that. I've gotten into Scrimshaw. But now that Scrimshaw is going so commercial and so cheap.
But you're Scrimshaw. I remember that marvelous dolphin.
Well, I prefer to call it almost
sculpture.
Whale ivory carving, yes, rather than Scrimshaw. I think Scrimshaw has been misused, abused, and, mm-hmm, you know. The true Scrimshaw that the whalers did was, it was a native art.
Yes.
It was something that it was primitive, but beautiful.
Yes.
And sincere.
So subtle, too, in comparison to what they do today.
And it was so sincere.
Yes.
I guess that's the only way you can describe it. That's okay, but it had its own beauty, regardless of how crude it was.
Yes.
It had,
yes,
that beauty of sincerity.
Yes.
And but today it isn't. There's no more of that.
No,
it's all so commercial. And
it's sharp and hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to make it very colorful, and they're painting on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so I'd like to get back to painting. That's, mm-hmm, that's my dream now.
Yes.
I really.
Yeah. Well, you are also a scientist and an animal lover. I mean, you've done an awful lot with study of birds and taking care of animals that were wounded. Can you tell me anything about that?
Well, I don't know what it is. Ever since I was a child, I found an injured mouse or a wounded bird or something like that. I just had a sort of an empathy for it, so I tended to want to heal it. And my father, being a doctor, was a very handy thing because he would prescribe the medicines, and he had a salve that he had concocted. He and a druggist friend, I've forgotten what it was, but it was a white salve, and it seemed to cure anything. And I saved a lot of little animals that had cuts or things like that that had been caught, and mauled by cats or dogs. And it just became a natural thing.
What are some of the kinds of pets you've had? I know you've had a variety of animals that you've taken care of and nurtured, and then they become pets.
Yeah, they do. That's the trouble. It's very difficult to put them back to the wild because sometimes they just won't make it. Mm-hmm. Other times they don't want to.
They
don't want to stay.
They want to stay right at home.
Right. Well, right at present I have a crow and a great horned owl, mm-hmm, that are residing with me. I figure that they're not pets, they're just guests.
Yes.
And both of them have had their chance at freedom, but they came back.
Yes.
The owl was gone for 3 days once, and he, one night, there was a bump on the door, and I opened the door, and there he was. He tried to get right back in,
mm-hmm,
and very hungry. So, and the crow has had his freedom, and he comes right back. So I assume that they like it where they are. But I've had foxes and snakes,
mm-hmm,
birds of all kinds, hawks, just sort of everything. And always cats and dogs. And people, I don't know, word gets around and somebody finds an injured animal and then bring it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very grateful for this. And the most beautiful thing is that children have this great empathy for animals. And I guess I did, and it carried on.
Yes.
But there'll be a knock on the door today,
Yes.
A little child standing there with a little sparrow in its hand. And, can you help this?
Yes.
So you try. But it's so beautiful to see the children do this.
Well, I'm going to back to childhood again, your childhood. What was fun for you to do? What did you do that was fun?
Oh, I always wanted to go to the woods.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to be in the woods or in the field. I hated the city.
Yes.
And I loved the country. And that's why I like Westport Point so much. It was,
mm-hmm,
it was everything.
Mm-hmm.
You had the river, you had the ocean. I like to go fishing, mm-hmm, lobstering back. I did. First summer that I was down here, I worked on a fishing boat.
Mm-hmm.
And the sea, mm-hmm, the river.
What about games? Are you a game player?
No.
Not a game.
Well, I like to play cribbage and chess and, mm-hmm, things like that. No, I was never much of an athlete.
No.
I don't know. I got bored. I can remember playing baseball as a young man. And I'd be standing out in the field,
Yeah. Well,
it was
just
so boring that I thought there were better things to do.
Well, I think artists do. This is a funny thing. I'm bored with, I'd rather be making something.
Right. I hate to do anything twice.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do it differently the next time.
Yes.
I was just talking with Paul Gay, who was building his own home. And I said, something about he built some other houses and I built a house. And I said, it'd be dreadful to have to build the same house over again. There'd be no challenge to it. Is that running all right?
Mm-hmm. I do
that. And I guess this is the artistic sense that the challenge is always in something new.
Yes, I'm sure that's it. I know it is. I turned off. I'm sure that's why an artist simply. I mean, there's not enough probably in athletics. Although you think of the creativity of some sportsmen.
Oh, I love to watch the sportsmen. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. The gracefulness of skaters and the gracefulness of a baseball player. They're all masters of their own art.
Yes.
But that just doesn't
happen. This is not your art.
That's
yes.
Right.
That's all. That's what I was wondering whether. Did you like, how about reading? Do you like to read?
I love to read.
As a child, did you enjoy reading too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was another way to get lost in another world. I read a lot of nature books when I was a child too. Mm-hmm. Living in the city, this was sort of an escape through a book.
Mm-hmm.
And as a very young child, I read Thornton Burgess. Mm-hmm. I think I read everything he ever wrote.
Yes.
And I guess I would owe an awful lot to Thornton Burgess, my introduction to nature and
yes.
my understanding of animals. An appreciation of
wonderful.
Him. He was a marvelous man.
Yes.
Those books today, I think of a child should have as a library.
Yes. Yes.
To start out.
Well, now I want to talk about all the good deeds you do for the town. What positions, just elected? I know you've held elected positions, but you've also gone around and poked your nose into wherever it was something that needed doing or so on that could help or, and talk, spoken with people and gotten acquainted with people. Let's start elected.
Well, I've been on the Landing Commission for, I think, 16 years now.
Mm-hmm. What does that involve?
Well, it's sort of a minor thing. It's just the government of the town landings. It's a strange thing because it's almost atavistic now. The landings have become so inadequate. Certainly our forefathers, when they laid out the landings, could never envision the automobile.
Wow.
And the landings were perfectly adequate in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some farmer would come down with a awesome wagon
mm-hmm.
and load up with seaweed or leave mm-hmm. the seaweed on there, and they had access to the water. And for the number of people using them, they were perfectly adequate. And the one up ahead of Westport is a huge landing. But, we don't have the uses now that they did then.
No.
And they're open to the public. And the public, the onslaught of the public is just too much
mm-hmm.
from the handle. That one at Hicks Bridge, we've had awful problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just abuse.
Yes.
It's a sad thing. People come down there to use them that don't understand
no.
it. And they abuse them. And they abuse the neighbors.
Yes.
And then you end up with problems of having, that's why we had to put the stones along there. The public has access to the landing, technically, but
mm-hmm.
Not by automobile.
No.
The automobile was the problem.
Yes.
And it's just...
Somehow, as far as Westport and you're concerned, it'd be better if we went back to another day, almost.
We can't go back, but I think we should have paused somewhere to look around before we did some of the things we did.
You think it's too late? That we can't still pause?
I think Westport, of all the towns I know, I think has paused the most
mm-hmm.
and has taken time to consider the pressures of progress.
Mm-hmm.
Progress to me was always an evil thing if it was uncontrolled.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly we can develop lands, we can build houses, we can have homes for people that, you know, that need them. But I'd like to see it done while we still maintain the quality of life that we have
mm-hmm.
here. Westport has offered us a quality of life that I think is unmatchable anywhere else.
Yes.
I've never seen another place like it. It's got that wonderful combination of fields and woods and ocean and beach, and we've given most of it away.
Yes.
And that's a mm-hmm. great loss. The natives have tried to hang on. The new people that come in because it offers all those
mm-hmm.
qualities, and they want to hang on, but you know, they say, well, you've got to share it.
Yes.
Well, you can only share to the point, you know, after you reach the halfway mark, then
you can share it until you begin destroying it.
Yeah. And then who has anything?
No.
You know, this,
mm-hmm.
some of this overdevelopment is
mm-hmm.
really a sad thing because these people come in and they're clustered all together and they
mm-hmm.
might as well be in the city. Mm-hmm. Another thing that isn't considered in some of this housing that's going up, people are a long way from their job. So mm-hmm. a family of middle income or less.